And that is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by God. You know the thing.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. I am so excited. I am your host. I'm wearing the tinfoil hat, even though I probably shouldn't be for the next couple of episodes, but I am wearing the tinfoil hat because that's who I am. My name is Tom Velasquez. As always, I am your host of The Paranormal Patriot, and I am so excited for the next series of shows. Why? Because it is October. We are officially into October, and October is officially the month of Halloween. So there will be no politics, unless World War III or a civil war in this country breaks out, but there will be no politics. For the next month, you will be hearing nothing but the paranormal. Yes, the paranormal. For those of you who have been clamoring for the paranormal, we will talk ghosts, we will talk shadow people, we will talk UFOs, we will talk aliens, werewolves, Frankenstein, wolfmen, I don't know, I don't care. Is if it has to do with cryptid, supernatural, or Halloween related, we're going to talk about it. And this week's show is going to start it off with the Hat Man. Yes, for those of you who are like, the what? The Hat Man? You have to stick around. Because for all of my paranormal enthusiasts, they may know who or what the Hat Man is. But there are some of you out there that have no idea who or what the Hat Man is. And we're going to get to the bottom of whether or not this is even a real phenomenon. Is the Hat Man real? What is the Hat Man? We are going to find this out and more on this episode of The Paranormal Patriot. So sit back, relax, open that mind. My name is Tom Velasquez. We're going to come back, and we're going to hear who or what the Shadow Man is.
Gargoyles are sitting in front of the house. Their stony eyes are gazing at me. I haven't had much luck tonight, but I gotta find a way to get me some candy. I walked up to the door and asked, is anyone home? The door slowly opens with a creak.
The stuff of nightmares.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crimes. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Alrighty, the Hat Man. Some of you, again, as I mentioned before, are saying, what in the world are you talking about, Tom? While others are talking and saying, oh my gosh, yes, we're going to learn about the Hat Man. I've heard about this guy. You can't learn about the Hat Man until you learn about shadow people. If you've been a longtime listener of this show, you know that I've done a show, or maybe two, about shadow people. I personally have seen shadow people for a long time. What are shadow people? The definition, the official definition of a shadow person, is that they are supernatural, shadow-like humanoid figures that, according to believers, are seen flickering on walls and ceilings in the viewer's peripheral view. However, that is not always the case, because I, for one, have seen them straight on. I have been straight on. I don't see them out of the corner of my eye, which I should, let me rephrase that. I have seen them out of the corner of my eye, but I've seen them straight on, where I am looking at a shadow person. Jason Offit, who is the author of Darkness Walks, The Shadow People Among Us, he has commented and said, many shadow people encounters do seem to mirror ghost encounters and are the most common type of shadow person encounters, a blacker-than-night human-shaped shadow that people see walking through their bedroom, hallway, living room, or wherever in their house. These shadow people are mostly benign, usually not taking notice of those who observe them. Now, I'm going to say that again, because there's a difference between a shadow person and the Hat Man. Again, these shadow people are mostly benign, usually not taking notice of those who observe them. There are descriptions of shadowy human-like figures in folklore dating back to ancient times. In the Quran, it mentions pitch-black sapient beings that aren't entirely spiritual or physical. And people in Eastern Europe believe that shadow beings desired blood and without it couldn't be reborn. Shadow people are reported to be conscious, intelligent, and some people believe they're interdimensional beings that can shapeshift into various forms and figures. They, according to some of these people who believe they're interdimensional, they can move back and forth between dimensions. And again, shadow people are not something new. Shadow people have existed in virtually every lore or culture where we have written word. In Egypt, the Egyptians saw shadow people, and they wrote about them. In Egypt, they called them Haibut, and it is believed that it was one of the seven souls each person had. In ancient Greece, the Greek mythology said the shade of a person went to a place called the Land of the Shades, which was part of the underworld. There are also stories of people dedicating or giving their shadows or shades to Zeus. And while this was a huge sacrifice over time, it became something to fear. It was believed that if somebody visited the temple of Zeus Lycaeus, they would lose their soul. So shadow people have been around since essentially humans could record their history. There are different types of shadow people seen. The most common is the humanoid shadow person. The humanoid shadow person is devoid of any features. It is basically a black mass in the shape of a humanoid. But some people have reported seeing the hooded figure. And this figure is often described as a monk due to the black cloak they seem to be wearing. But again, everything is black about this. Now, those who have reported seeing the hooded figure report feeling that the being seemed like it was enraged. People have also noted seeing black smoke, or what they call mist people. Now, mist people or black smoke are often described as simply blurry and did not have much of a form noted. People who have witnessed this black mist or these mist people often report feeling an overwhelming sense of dread while viewing them. Also noted are shadow animals. Now, these are much less common, but they're simply shadows in the form of an animal. Take a dog, cat, raccoon, whatever. People have reported seeing these shadow creatures in the form of an animal. Also being seen are the peeking shadows. Now, these shadows, and I've seen a couple of these during my time as a ghost investigator or going on a ghost hunt. These are roughly child-sized humanoid forms, and they are most often seen peeking around corners. They appear to be curious, but that is a common trait among shadow people. And lastly, shadow people that have red eyes. These are generally considered to be one of the most frightening versions of the shadow person. They, as their name implies, possess glowing red eyes that seem to be, as people described who've seen them, an embodiment of evil. The most common thread here is when people see a shadow person, it's generally not a positive experience. Most people have fear, understandably. But on top of fear, they have dread, a sense of evil, a sense of just unnervingness. Seeing a shadow person, and again, I can attest to this, and I will give you my stories here in just a second. Seeing a shadow person is not an uplifting, it's not an exciting experience. I've been on ghost hunts where I've seen the physical manifestation of a ghost. And that is, to me, exciting. To some, it's terrifying, but to me, it's exciting because I know they can't hurt me. It's seeing the physical energy of someone that has passed on. It's exciting to me. I've also seen shadow people, and I've had that overwhelming dread. I've had that feeling of just pure evil. So trust me when I say you really don't want to see or be involved with a shadow person because it's really not an uplifting, it's not a very good experience. You will walk away feeling drained of energy and feeling afraid. Now, for my newer listeners, I want to give you my accounts of shadow people sightings because I have seen shadow people everywhere I have lived. It's almost as if these beings follow me. And it started when I was younger. I grew up in Saginaw, Michigan, Saginaw Township, Michigan, and we lived in a house that was not entirely old as I was growing up. But I'd go down the basement, and whenever I was down in the basement, I always felt like I was being watched. And a lot of times I'd just feel an overwhelming sense that somebody's behind me, and I turn around and I would see the fleeting image of an older man with a beard just fading away in front of me. It never attempted to hurt me. I never really felt too entirely afraid of this. In fact, I used to call it Abraham Lincoln because it reminded me of Abraham Lincoln. And I would see this figure constantly down the basement because we spent a lot of time as kids down our parents' basement. We had a room that at one time was a bedroom. We just converted it into what we called the toy room. We had all of our toys in this room. We had them spread out, and we'd go down there, and I'd play as a young child with the toys, and I'd be playing, and I'm just, you've all had that feeling, that gut feeling, that intuition that somebody is staring at you, and I turn around, and this face would just, it would disappear, but it was there. I'd see it. I'd constantly see it, and as I grew up, we'd spend a ton of time with our friends and our brothers and sisters in the basement. We'd had pool tables, air hockey tables, pinball machines. It was just the place to be down there. And my friends would get an uneasy feeling. And one of my best friends, we spent a lot of time down there, and he saw this face. I never saw the body. But the thing is, I mean, I lived there till I think I was 18 or 19. And as I got older, and I think it started when I was 16 or 17, I started not only seeing this face, because this face was there until I moved out. And it expanded into the fleeting glances out of the corner of my eye. I'd be playing pool, and a lot of times I'd just go down there by myself, turn on the radio, and listen to music and shoot pool. And I'd be shooting and see something out of the corner of my eye and not think anything of it. And it was just constant, constant, constant. And I eventually moved out and got married, moved to a different part of town, and would go back to my parents. And the strange thing is, once I left, I never saw the shadow figures in the basement. I never saw that face again. I don't know who that was, but it was there. So I moved to this different house. I got married and moved to this house, like I say, a little bit away from where my parents lived. And I don't know how old it was. It was actually a duplex. We had the bottom floor and our neighbor had the top floor. And I saw my wife at the time. I saw her dad talking to my son, and her dad had passed before I met her. And again, it was just fleeting glances that I would see just out of the corner of my eye. I mean, this house was a series of different rooms. And it seemed like you'd have a room, door, room, door, room, door. And we always kept the doors open. I don't know why. It's just what we did. And I'd always see, just out of the corner of my eye, somebody moving through a room. And a couple times, you know, my wife worked at the time, worked late nights, and I would be home watching my son, and I would think somebody's in the house. And I'd search the house and nothing. Well, my first wife and I unfortunately got divorced. We just grew apart, and I met my current wife, and we moved into this house that she purchased right before meeting me, and we ended up basically redoing it. And if you've followed the paranormal, you know that older houses, when they get renovated, it seems to stir up a lot of activity. And this is what seems to have happened. We basically tore out all the walls and basically left an upstairs floor and a downstairs ceiling. The two were the one and the same, but everything, it was the outside walls for the walls and the outside of the house. Then you had a floor upstairs that was the ceiling downstairs. And then we had stairs leading upstairs. That was it. Everything else had been gutted. We were building new walls, redesigning the house. And it seemed to have stirred up some activity, because it literally took us about a year to redo this house to the point that we could move into it. And from night one, things happened. Over the years, we had carpet on the floor, and over the years, we had kids, and the kids just literally destroyed the carpet going down the stairs. They would take their drinks and their food, and even though they weren't supposed to, they'd drop it, and we just finally said, you know what? We're tearing that carpet out. It's stained to the point that we can't get the stains out, and underneath it was wood, and it was a built-in security system, because once that carpet was off those stairs, anybody that walked up and down those stairs, the stairs creaked. You went up, I think, a set of 15 stairs, came to a landing, took a right, and went up about 5 stairs, and you were in the upstairs. The 15 stairs going up to that landing were, there was no way anybody could sneak up on you, because it was loud, and we would constantly hear those stairs creaking in the middle of the night, to the point that my wife or I would get up and we would look, because we had the children's room, the kids' room, down the hall from us. So we were all upstairs, but we're like, somebody's in the house. We got to check the kids. And we'd go out there. The lights wouldn't be on, nothing. And again, my wife would work late nights sometimes. She worked a retail job at the time, and she'd work late nights. So I'd have the kids. And at the time, I did a lot of gaming, and I'd put the kids down to bed. Give them some Benadryl, maybe, I don't know. But I'd put them down to bed, and I'd get gaming. And out of the corner of my eye, I'd see something walk by my field of vision in the hallway. As you open the front door, it to the right was the living room, straight through was the hallway to the kitchen, to the left was the stairs. And I would constantly see something walking back and forth in that hallway, and I couldn't figure it out. And as our time there progressed, it's almost like it got a little bit more confident, I guess would be the best word, because there were times I wouldn't see it out of the corner of my eye. It would be almost dead center to me. I'd be playing the video games, and I would see something walk by in the middle of the room that I was in, and I'm just like, okay, that's got to be a shadow from the video game, because it would be dark at that time in the light from the TV. I would attribute it to the video games. My wife called me at work one day, and I could tell right when she picked up the phone, or when I picked up the phone, she was a little unnerved. Her question to me was, okay, because I'd tell her. prior to this, I would tell her all the time, man, I'm hearing voices, I'm hearing things. And she was a skeptic at the time. She called me and says, okay, I have to ask you, have you ever heard voices in this house? I said, I hear voices all the time. And I asked why. And she's like, I was upstairs and I heard a conversation downstairs. I thought somebody was here. So I go downstairs and I'm walking all throughout the downstairs. Nobody's in there. And I start walking up the steps again and I'm hearing a conversation in our bedroom. Plain as day. And I said, yes, I deal with that all the time. And from that point on, it was almost like she believes now we can show ourselves. Because the shadows would just be, I would be playing, I would be sitting watching TV, I'd be on the computer, and the shadows would rise up on the wall. I would see the shadows walk through the room, and it wasn't out of the corner of my eye. But again, at that time, I didn't feel ominous. I didn't feel fear until December 26th, 2005. My son was just over a year. His birthday is December 24th. We went to my parents up in Saginaw for Christmas. We came home, and it was dark out. It was like 9, 10 o'clock. And my son, who was a year old at that time, had fallen asleep in the car seat, and I was carrying him up the stairs and got into his room, and his crib was against the wall. And as I'm putting him in his crib, I hear plain as day somebody yelling at me, get down, get down. Instinctively. And I don't know if I did it or somebody actually pushed me down. I could feel and see a black mass rising up on the wall right in front of me, up against the crib. I instinctively start covering my son. I feel this thing go over. I mean, this thing is tall. It's when they say 6-7 feet, some people see these things 6-7 feet. I feel it rise up and go over me. And behind me, we had a Detroit Red Wings. They call it a beach chair. It's a foldable chair. I had it leaning so it wouldn't fall against the wall. That chair was there. If Andrew woke up at night, I would rock him in it and put him back to sleep. That chair never would fall over. I felt this shadow go over me. Felt it. I could feel it going over me. And as it went over me, I turned my head and saw it go in the wall right above that chair. And the chair fell back on itself onto the floor. At that point, I felt the utmost dread. I was fearful. I immediately took my son, took him into our bedroom, shut the door. My wife knew something was going on. I told her. I don't know if she really believed me, but I stand by that, and I will swear to that till the day I die that that happened. Something was in that room, and it was evil. So fast forward to our current location. The house we currently live in, nothing going on. I mean, the weirdest thing that happened is down the basement, there is, well, he had it as a workroom. We turned it into a game room with the pool table we had when I was a kid. We got a shuffleboard, a little itty-bitty pinball table. It was our game room. There was carpet, like the AstroTurf carpet on the floor, which I hated. It was worn out. It looked horrible. So we pulled it up, and when we pulled it up, I don't know what it was. I don't know how it got there. But under that AstroTurf carpet up against the concrete was a bunch of fur in the shape of a medium-sized dog. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was a prank saying from the guy who built the house saying, ha, can't wait till these people pull up this carpet. But nothing happened. Until 2000, and I think it was 16, my wife and I, we went to a psych convention with two good friends of ours up in Saginaw. The convention was hosted by Maria Shaw, who, if you follow psychics, you know she's a world-renowned psychic. She was there, and we'd have these meetings and these, these gatherings where everybody got together and you filled out this form, and she'd go over your birth chart. That's where I really got into birth charts. She picked me out and nailed it, saying, you know, you need to be running your own business. That is what you are supposed to be doing, and I've always felt that, but yeah, I'm not living my true life, whatever. We sat with a psychic, paid money to have a psychic tell us that we, my wife and I, were married in a former life in Kansas, and we lost a child because he fell off a cliff, and I looked at her, I'm like, you are literally, I didn't say it, but I looked at her with the look like, you are full of shit. And she knew, she's like, you don't believe me, and I'm like, no. But at the end of the convention, everybody got into a room, and all the psychics sat up in front of everybody and just started talking. And, you know, they'd see people, supposedly, and one of the psychics, who I had a feeling that this guy knows something. He says, hold on, I see a man in a white shirt, black pants, and a bow tie, and he's carrying milk. He's looking at you, and he points at me. He says, do you know anybody like this that would be wearing an outfit like this? And I looked at him, and I said, my grandfather was a milkman. He used to deliver milk, and I've seen pictures of him, and he wore a black bow tie and a white shirt, which I'm assuming are black pants because it was a black and white photo. He says, your grandfather's here, and he's smiling at you. And that struck me because nobody knew my grandfather was a milkman. And he described him to a T. He says he's dark-complected, he's tall, he's thin, and he has short, black, curly hair. And I said, that's him. And it was amazing. That part was amazing. The problem I had is when I got home, things in this house that never had any activity started happening. I remember I was doing a show down here in my basement where my studio is. And how it's set up, as I mentioned, the former workroom that's now a game room, there's two French doors that have two sets of glass that you can see right in there. And where my studio was at that time was directly across from these glass doors, and I could see right into them. And as I'm doing my show, out of the corner of my eye, I'm seeing something moving in that room, to the point I actually stopped recording and walked into that room. I'm like, who's in here? I thought maybe our cat got in there. Nope. I thought maybe one of my kids were in there. Nope. Nobody, nothing was in there. So I go back to do the show, and I remember specifically, and I hope I still have, I probably don't, because I deleted all the old original Paranormal Patriot shows. Yep. So it's gone. It's in the Netherland. But I remember, and for those of you who have listened to this show since day one, you'll remember, if you listen to that show, you'll remember me saying, I'm recording this show, and I am seeing something moving back and forth in this room. And as the show got on, I kind of would glance over there, and it got to the point where I was seeing shadow people moving back and forth in this room. Again, I didn't feel the ominous fear, but I didn't like that because I was finally in a house where I don't have activity. So after that show, I went and I bought some sage. And I saged this whole house. And for those of you who have done that, you know that that works. I have not had any paranormal activity since. Those are my stories. For those of you who have seen ghosts and shadow people, they may be similar to you. For those of you who have not, most of the time, it's not a good experience. My shadow people experiences have not been always bad. They're just fleeting. It's almost, as I mentioned, they're curious. They're like, what's going on in here? At the end of this segment, I'm going to talk to you about what I think the shadow man or shadow people and the hat man really are. Some of you may agree, some of you may not. But with that being said, there's a certain type of shadow person that people more and more are seeing. Now, this shadow person has not been around from recorded history like shadow people in general have. This is called the Hat Man. And it's, again, becoming more and more common. But what is the Hat Man? Now, the Hat Man, he is considered a shadow person. Those who report seeing him always feel an ominous dread around them. He wears a wide-brimmed hat. Now, some people say it's a fedora, some people say a top hat, but it's always a hat. He seems to be wearing a cape or a trench coat. Some people say his eyes are solid black, but other people say they see red in his eyes. He is reported to have no face at all, nor any bodily features other than the fact that he is humanoid. The thing about the Shadow Man is shadow people, I'm sorry, the Hat Man, the thing about the Hat Man, but shadow people are not completely solid per se. Some can be, but most are almost semi-transparent. You can almost see through them. You can tell it's not a solid mass. The Hat Man overwhelmingly is considered solid rather than a mist or a translucent figure. Again, those who encounter him report feelings of dread. He appears to show curiosity toward those who see him. And that's the big difference. Most shadow people that you encounter, just general shadow people, are pretty much oblivious to you being there. It's almost like they're going through the motions of being in that area without, they're oblivious that you're even there. They're curious of their surroundings, but they don't see you. The Hat Man, on the contrary, knows you're there, and he's curious about you. Some people who have witnessed the Hat Man have gone to so far as to claim that this is the devil. Now, one of the biggest differences between the Hat Man and a shadow person is when you witness these. Shadow people can be witnessed any time of the day, day or night, and again, they seem to be oblivious to you, but curious as to their surroundings. The Hat Man, on the contrary, most of the time people see him is when some people say they're dreaming or just waking up. The most common trait about the Hat Man is most people have what is called sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis is essentially you are awake but not totally awake. It's almost like you're just waking up from your long night sleep or a nap and you're kind of just got that fogginess. You're awake, you know your surroundings, you know what's going on, but you can't move. Nothing you can do will make you move. Some people say it's almost like they're dreaming, and that's led some people to say, well, that's what it is sleep paralysis is essentially you're dreaming and you don't know that you're dreaming. Some people are adamant. I was awake. I knew my surroundings. I could not move. And that's when you typically see this Hat Man. Now, the Hat Man, he will be at the foot of your bed. He will be in your doorway. He will be by your bed. But you can see him. It may be dark as night in the bedroom, but you can see that there is a figure because he's that dark. And you have that feeling of dread. But here's the thing. He doesn't appear to attack you. He doesn't appear to want to attack you. He is standing there staring at you, again, as opposed to a shadow person who is curious to the surroundings. The Hat Man is curious about you. Now, some would say that the Hat Man is a concoction of an internet story or an internet blog, just like Slender Man or Siren Head. And that may be the case. Because, again, while shadow people have been witnessed and recorded since humans could record history, the Hat Man is something fairly new. So we don't know, is this an internet phenomenon that has just grown out of proportion and turned into an urban legend, a.k.a. Slender Man? Is this something real? There are too many people that have witnessed this Hat Man to say that it can just be discounted as an internet urban legend. Because listen, even this day and age, you say you see a ghost. I deal with it on a daily basis when from the guys at work. I truly believe that where I work, there is activity. A lot of times I am the last one to leave that building and everybody's gone and I hear noises. I've been in the bathroom cleaning up and had the door shut and I would see the shadow under the door of somebody walking back and forth, and I could hear them walking back and forth. I could hear things moving in the back of the shop. I watched a bucket that has been there since I've been there just automatically fall. I've watched it. But people still, to this day, get ridiculed for believing in UFOs, for seeing a UFO, for, God forbid, announcing that they've seen a UFO or a ghost or a shadow person or, God forbid, the Hat Man. So these people who are genuinely afraid of what they've seen but still come forward knowing that they're going to be ridiculed and chastised and ostracized and blacklisted, you can't just discount what they're saying. Could it be a case of them dreaming and thinking what they saw was real? Yes. Could it be a case of I'm just waking up and I'm trying to focus, I thought I saw something? Yes. Could it be that they're seeing something real, an actual phenomenon? We are quick to call shadow people. We are quick to call the Hat Man evil because we don't know what they are, right? These, in my opinion, and this is strictly my opinion. Now, some of the theories about what shadow people and the Hat Man are varied. Now, if you look at the scientific theories, some people say that it's a symptom of mental illness such as schizophrenia. Some people say it's a method for our brain to keep us aware and alert, while other people say that certain areas of the brain being stimulated are causing us to see these shadow people or the Hat Man when they're not really there. But then you go into those of us who believe in the supernatural. What are they? Some people say they're ghosts. Some people say they're demonic. Some people say they're the manifestation of a parallel universe, while other people say that they're guardians. I will give you my theory. And this is, I base this on the fact that shadow people are oblivious to us. I think the shadow people exist as far as I'm concerned. I've seen them way too many times to deny and question their existence. They exist. I believe you are witnessing a being or maybe even a human from a parallel universe. And this is how we are seeing them. They are crossing over into this dimension. They can see the surroundings. They can't see us for some reason I can't explain yet. Maybe because we are flesh and bone. They can't see us. They can see electricity. They can see EMF. And they're confused as to their surroundings. That is my theory. Now for the Hat Man, some people say the Hat Man is kind of like the leader. You know, he's defined as a leader by the hat he wears. I don't know. I think maybe the Hat Man can see our flesh and bone where the shadow people cannot. I believe every one of them is from an alternate dimension or a parallel universe. You have to believe in that to believe in shadow people that way, though. So you're going to get some feedback. You're going to get some blowback. You're going to get some people that say you're nuts. Because, again, my theory is because people don't know what's around them. I mean, let's take into account real quick the spectrum that the human eye can see. We are basically resolved into one spectrum. There are hundreds of different spectrums around us. Have you ever heard of a full spectrum camera? It can pick up the different spectrums that the human eye cannot see, and it sees things that there are things around us we can't see at all because we can't see in that spectrum. How do we know that spectrum isn't an alternate universe or a parallel universe? And we can see other people, and somehow, some way, either they slipped into our dimension somewhat, or they know how to slip into our dimension, but they can't fully do it, and all you see is the shadowy form. That's why they're humanoid. That's why you have shadow animals, is because they can slip back and forth, but they can't fully do it, so you see only their shadow figure. And maybe because we are flesh and blood, they can't see us, but they can see the electricity and the energy that everything around us is giving off of us. And that's why they're so curious. Again, these are theories. More importantly, my theories. You can agree with them. You can think I'm nuts. It doesn't matter. But what I want from my listeners is I want to know, have you had an encounter with a shadow person or the Hat Man? I would love to hear about it, as would our listeners. You can contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know your experience. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I am going to give you the top 10 haunted states in these United States. Sit back, relax, open that mind. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back. Back. Yes. After a long hiatus, Jay and Jack Miles, hosts of Vanishing Gates, are back for your listening and viewing pleasure. If you have not followed them on Facebook, please do yourself a favor and do so. Jay and Jack Miles talk about true crime, the paranormal, good cigars. Guaranteed you will enjoy what you are hearing. Jay and Jack Miles are back with Vanishing Gates. Follow them on Facebook to know when their new episodes are coming out. Jay Miles, Vanishing Gates. Follow them to be enjoyed by yourself. If you are a fan of true crime, the paranormal, you owe it to yourself to know that Jay Miles is back with Vanishing Gates.
I'm walking down the street and I'm yelling trick or treat, and see a kid standing there covered in a sheet, and a freak in my ass could start you to sleep. Now the crazy little mouse is starting to creep. See a Spider-Man and a cute little nurse, and a car guy by the looks just like a hearse. I better get going because the night's getting worse, so I gotta fill my bag and get home.
Alrighty, we live in an amazing country, and apparently it's an amazingly haunted country. We have 50 states in our country, and 10 of them are the most haunted. And as I'm looking at this list, I've got to tell you, one thing stands out. Aside from one state, 9 of these are the top 9 listening states of this show. It's uncanny. So, if you are in any of these following 10 states, you have the privilege of living in the top 10 most haunted states in the United States of America. Coming in at number 10, with number 1 being the most haunted, number 10 is the state of Virginia. Now, out of all the states on this list, these Virginians don't seem to want to listen to the Paranormal Patriot much. Maybe after this show, they will. Number 9, the state of New York. Number 8, the state of Oklahoma. Number 7, the state of Pennsylvania. Number 6, Indiana. Number 5, Illinois. Number 4, Michigan. Number 3, Ohio. Number 2, California. And the number 1 most haunted state is Texas. Now, what makes Texas the most haunted state in America? Well, apparently, the number of sightings and paranormal encounters that are reported. They had 6,845 reported sightings since 2005. California isn't far behind with 6,444, while Ohio drops down to 2,555. So, the question is, what makes one state more haunted than the other? Could it be the people in that state, the general feeling about the paranormal in the state? You know, I would think Florida would be on that list, but Florida's not to be seen. What about Massachusetts? I expected that to be near the top. Nothing. Pennsylvania, you have Gettysburg. Michigan has a lot of history that a lot of people don't know about. In the 1800s, we were a huge, huge lumbering state. And we would have these, well, Saginaw, where I grew up, in Bay City, just north of me. This area in Michigan, Saginaw, Bay City, Midland, north into Tawas, Alpena, Kalkaska, Gaylord, and into the Upper Peninsula, were huge, huge in terms of lumber. And they used to have these hotels that rivaled everything out west. And from all the stories I've read about what it was like during the heyday of the lumbering towns, of the lumber towns in Michigan, it was the Wild West here in Michigan. So you could say that there's a lot of activity here. I mean, Saginaw, where I grew up, there is a ton of activity that happens. I mean, you look at the stable. You look at Potter Street train station. You look at Oakwood Cemetery, right near where I went. Dice Road Cemetery, I've actually investigated that. These are places that are just really, really active. Now, you have your own state. You have your own area in the world that you live in. You know, if you're into the paranormal, you know what is a hot spot and what isn't. But Indiana, what would cause Indiana to be in the top 10? What would cause Oklahoma? I can see California, the gold rush and all the accidents and unfortunate deaths. Texas, the wild, wild west. Ohio, I mean, I don't know. So, does it have to do with the amount of activity in the past and the violence in that area? And if that's the case, I mean, I can see why Pennsylvania, Gettysburg, why wouldn't Tennessee, why wouldn't West Virginia, North Carolina, these areas that have had the Civil War, where the Civil War, the major battles were fought, Massachusetts, Salem witch trials. Why wouldn't those be on there? Or is it just a matter of the people in those states don't report their paranormal sightings? To be honest with you, I think that's more so the case. I'm not discounting this top 10 list, because I know here in Michigan, I know there's a ton of paranormal happenings. I mean, I grew up in one of the most haunted areas in Michigan, in Saginaw. I live in a very haunted area in Owosso. I mean, Owosso, the Owosso area, was once one vote away from being the capital of Michigan. It was years and years in the late 1800s, early 1900s. This was a bustling town. We had trains going through here left and right. We had a bustling economy. I mean, I've seen the old pictures, and this place was hopping. We have secret tunnels underneath our downtown. Our downtown right now is atrocious. The city commissioners and the city planning people, they don't embrace the history of Owosso. And they should. They need to take, instead of tearing down these old buildings, redo them. There are people, there are investors out there that are going to make a very avid point of redoing these buildings in keeping the old architecture. I go to these little towns around my area and go to their downtowns, and they're great. They look like old town America. I remember 2 years ago, I think it was 2019, the last Christmas before COVID hit, Owosso promoted Christmas in downtown. Come see an old-time Christmas. And I'm expecting this place to be lit up with decorations all over the place, people on the corners, carolers singing. We go down there, and it was meant to be a downtown shopping experience. And I get that. You know, you're trying to promote business downtown. I'm all good with that. And we went and we shopped and we patronized and bought a lot of stuff from these local businesses because I do believe you should support local. But half the stores were closed, and there were no Christmas decorations. There was no lights. There was no carolers. You would go by there on any other day, and it would be no different. And as a matter of fact, you walk down the streets, and there's trash all over. And I'm thinking to myself, why? Why promote this if you're not going to do anything to make it exciting? And everybody had the same sentiment. Everybody was like, what is the difference if I come down here during Christmas in downtown or if I come down here 2 weeks from now? There's no difference. We have, and a lot of people live in towns with a huge amount of history. We are so adept now of trying to erase our history in this country that we're just not going to accept it. We're going to get rid of all of it. This history is who our cities are and who we are. I've embraced this town. This town is my home now. And I would love to open up the tunnels downtown. I think, especially now, down here, downtown Owosso, there's tunnels underneath here that they closed off and filled up. Open them up. Charge people $5-$10 to stroll through the tunnels during Halloween. My daughter worked at a five and dime shop that was opened. I mean, I think they opened this store in the same location, same everything, same outside facade in the early 1900s. And they have this basement down there that she worked there, her friends worked there, and nobody wanted to go down there because they said there's something down there. They've seen someone down there. Even the boss is like, yeah, I've seen it. Embrace it. Ghosts, I don't think, can hurt you. I mean, poltergeists are a different story, but I'm doing a lot of research on poltergeists, and I'm coming to the conclusion, and at first, I thought it was a little bit of a, you know, far-out stretch, but it makes more and more sense that poltergeists are actually stemming from the people that are living there. They're not ghosts. They're not demonic. It's more so the people that are living there under stress or under duress, and they're just exuding that into the living environment. That's my thought on that, but I kind of went off topic. But back to the topic at hand, what makes these states the most haunted? Again, I think it's because the people in those states are more open to paranormal encounters, so therefore they're going to talk about them more. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know what state you live in. Do you consider your state haunted? Do you live in a town that has a rich history that goes way back and you know it's haunted? Or have you witnessed any hauntings in your city and in your state? Again, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. ghostseeker4@charter.net. Okay, so that will be the show this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Do me a favor, send me an email, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know what you want to hear about on the next show. It's got to be paranormal related. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot, week number one of the month of Halloween 2021. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to send those messages to ghostseeker4@charter.net.
Some candy.